to say. Sorry, it's making weird noises and it's like it's having a drink or something. Anyway, hopefully it's not me. The first pledge of our members' pledge, to live at all times such a life as reflects a true Christian and a member of the church. And everyone goes, yep. You know, the people that I appreciate the most is when I'm talking to them about membership, where they go, I'm not sure if I can do that. I love that honesty, because I don't think any of us can, but that's the journey, isn't it? That's the challenge, and that's what we're here to do, is to encourage and walk with each other in this life that we've called to live a life at all times, a life that reflects a true Christian and a member of what God is doing in the world. So what does that look like? Well, should we get you all up here one at a time and give us your definition? I reckon if we did that, some would say, well, it's about obeying the rules, isn't it? It's about doing what God said. Well, this is what a Christian looks like. And those people will go and list a bunch of things. This is what you do, this is what you don't do. And that's what that means. Others might say, well, it's about being in right relationship. And if we're in right relationship, then we're filled with the Spirit, which means that we speak in tongues, we see healings, and we have ecstatic, you know, we're celebrating, and we're just kind of like, I won't say crazy. We're enthusiastic. Another group of Christians might say, no, well, actually walking with God means having the correct doctrinal statements, being able to articulate exactly what we believe in these precise, deliberate words. That's what it's all about. And other people, they might want to be out there just putting things to right. Social action, social justice, that's what God's all about. We should be getting out there, changing the world, transforming it. And then you've got others who just say, isn't it just all about a personal journey? It's me and God. Don't judge me. It's between me and Him. It's how I feel. There are many arguments about these things in the church world. Sermons are preached on it. Seminars are attended over it. Even conferences are held to show what one particular stance is, and that's the right stance. What I've found interesting in my life and in my walk is that when I spend time with people that sit in a variety of perspectives, some of like what I've talked, is that I've seen God at work in many people across those range of perspectives. And if I'm very honest, for some people I wonder if He is at work. They can say these things, but sometimes I can't see God working. The Apostle Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We all know it well. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. And again in Galatians, Paul writes this. He says, I say to you, to the Galatian people, and I think to us, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The Spirit and the flesh are in conflict with each other. The acts of the flesh are, and he lists off all those horrible things that we know we shouldn't be doing and we don't like when it happens to us, but we find ourselves there. But then he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so to live at all times such a life that reflects a true Christian actually means to live a life wholeheartedly following after the Lord, led by the Spirit, with a love for God and people. And those different groups that I put up there, I think there's room for all of them. And it's not just one perspective. This morning, I'm going to draw our attention to Caleb. Caleb was a member of the nation of Israel that was saved from Egypt by God. They were led into the desert and ultimately into the promised land, the land God promised to their father Abraham. But to me, Caleb stands out because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. And in fact, when you try to follow the line of Caleb's story, that's the thing that keeps coming up. Six times I counted was that whenever Caleb is mentioned, he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. So if you could bring up my little PowerPoint there. Mine. I wrote my sermon and then I thought I really should put some points up, because if you like writing notes, you can write some things down. I've got some points to make. And so I decided I'm going to let AI do it. And in 5 minutes, I said, could you take my sermon and make a PowerPoint? And this is what it came up with, okay? So I can't have credit for it. It didn't do my sermon. It did the PowerPoint, okay? Wholehearted commitment, following the Lord at all times. So we're going to turn to Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 to 15, and I'm going to read that out, okay? And I'd encourage you, turn to it in your Bibles. Follow along with me. Reading and listening, haven't got it on the screen, but reading and listening sort of helps cement it in. It's this amazing situation. It says this in verse 6. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of this guy with a big name, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. There it goes. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to the battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. And then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. And so Hebron has belonged to Caleb ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. And Hebron, it says this last verse in brackets, Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. And then the land had rest from war. What an amazing moment. An 85-year-old guy, Caleb, at 85, I just think it's amazing. At 85, he is holding to the promise that was given to him 45 years ago, like it had happened yesterday. He has waited for 45 years to receive what he hoped to have in his younger years. If you go to read about Caleb, the story is really, really drawn out. It's spread across the books of Deuteronomy, Numbers, Joshua, and even moves into Judges. And so if you want to read his whole story, you've got to go through all of those books and pick out the bits, because he's not the main character. Caleb's not the leader or the incredible, you know, the Moses or the Joshua or the Abraham. He's not someone whose name comes up when we think of major Bible characters. But he's in there. And he's an amazing encouragement to us. But in this passage that I've come to, I think captures who he was, what his journey was about, and definitely what I want to highlight this morning. Caleb experienced the salvation of Israel for Egypt. He crossed the sea on dry land. He explored the promised land with the other 11 spies, and he got excited about it. When he came back, he was offended by his fellow explorers because they turned the nation away from the promise because they were scared. And he endured 40 years in the desert with these people, waiting for them to die, because that's what God said would happen. Sorry, I shouldn't say he was waiting for them to die. He was waiting, and he lived to see all of his compatriots pass away. I don't think he was wanting them to, but he had to journey that. But Caleb also got to cross the Jordan with Joshua. He helped Israel drive out the Canaanites and possess the land. And now in this moment, he is standing with Joshua. He wants to wants what was promised to him. And Joshua agrees, and Caleb took the hardest land from the greatest man in the land, and his family lived there in peace. He is an amazing example of what it means to be God's person. And so I've picked out five things that we can learn from walking with God wholeheartedly, and I think what it requires. And I think the first point is this: he didn't let his past define him. If we want to walk with God, we've got to listen to what God says, not who we think we are. Caleb grew up under intense oppression. His people had been in slavery for 400 years. Now this slavery, I mean, we sort of fill gaps that we don't really know about, I think. And I think this form of slavery wasn't the kind of slavery I tend to go to, and maybe you don't. He wasn't a slave in a particular household serving a particular family. He wasn't meeting their needs like a butler. He wasn't serving their food like a chef. He wasn't farming their land like a lot of the slavery images that we have. He and his people were actually a community in Egypt that the Egyptians actually turned on, this particular group of people, and they oppressed them. The Pharaoh of the day, who didn't know why Israel were there, who didn't know the story of Joseph, didn't know all that had happened in the past, came to power. And he was watching one day and he saw that the Israelites were getting big and powerful and significant. And he was scared. He was so worried that they were growing large that if they ever went to war with anyone, that they might side with Egypt's enemies and turn on Egypt. He forgot why the Israelites were there, or he didn't know, or whatever. He was ignorant of it. And his fear about what might happen created a narrative in his mind that turned the whole nation of Egypt against Israel. And he began to funnel them into a particular type of work. The people that he feared, he made them work for Egypt. The government policy changed so that the Israelites had less and less options. They were officially seen as less than people, because they were feared and eventually oppressed totally by being made to work for the benefit of the superior race. Thank goodness that doesn't happen today, especially in Christian countries. Hang on. Maybe it does. You know, we can put a Christian label on our countries, but when we really look, behavior's not that different, is it? Sermon for another time. We can go there some other time. But what I really want to highlight is Caleb was from an oppressed environment. Generationally, not just him, generationally, he was oppressed. But he experienced God calling them out, rescuing from that. They didn't have to lift a finger. He experienced the plagues. He experienced the Passover night. He experienced the Red Sea crossing. He experienced watching the enemy army destroyed without having to lift a finger. And he experienced the incredible, amazing provision of God providing food and water in a desert. And when he was asked by Moses to go and explore the land that God had promised him, with the other 11 spies, he didn't shrink back. He didn't sit there and go, oh no, oh it's too scary. He didn't say, oh, I can't, I'm afraid. he went in excited, wholeheartedly, because he was looking at what God said. And even when he saw the people of the land who were big and scary, he never stepped back. He was excited. He was passionate. He wanted what God wanted. And so we're going to finish this section with that statement up there. Your past may shape you, but it does not have to define you. And every person that I've seen that are actually going on in God and actually experiencing victory have learned to let that go while it's present. It's a part of your life. It doesn't. It's not the thing that holds and defines. And I want to encourage every one of you, if you're letting, if you're saying God can't use me because of, I'm going, just go read the Bible. Go and look at who God uses. Go and look what God does. And he uses people who are willing to trust him and to follow him wholeheartedly. Point two, Caleb believed God's word about what he saw. See, Caleb saw something and experienced what the majority of the nation never did. He walked in the land flowing with milk and honey. He saw food so abundant that it took two men to carry a single bunch of grapes on a pole between them. Has anyone ever, I've got a grapevine. I like it when I get a big one, but it might fill my hand. But I've never had to go, Daniel, can you come around? I've got a bunch of grapes and I need to take it down and get it inside. Can you come and help me? I haven't got that. I don't, you know, it's just amazing. But he also saw the people of the land and how they lived. They had large fortified cities. And it says that he saw they were powerful. But he also saw the people of Anak there. These people were large, like giants. They were scary people, especially if you're a group of slaves that have come out of a nation sitting in the desert with almost nothing. How do you go in and deal with these people? Caleb believed what God said. When they all came back and they reported back to Moses, Caleb said, "We should go and take possession of the land, for we can surely do it." That was his conviction. Why? Because he was holding what God had said in as he was looking. He was looking at it with a God perspective, not a slave perspective. His past isn't defining him. God is. He was looking in there. He wasn't looking at his ability. He was looking at God's ability. He was looking at God's promise. Following God wholeheartedly meant that he viewed what was before him through the lens that God is with him and able to do anything. Remember, they'd just been come out of Egypt, 10 plagues, just the Red Sea thing, you know. The entire Egyptian army was one of the most powerful armies of the time. I guess it would be like the American army at this stage of our life. Imagine if that just went just like that. We'd all be like, whoa. That's what he was holding on to. He was totally convinced. And in fact, he was probably even excited about the possibility of what it would be like to live in this land, to live in freedom, to have agency over their nation, to do what God called them to do, to not be oppressed by other people. He saw the promise, as impossible as it was, and went, let's go for it. The God that drew us out, he wants us to go there. How can we not believe? But they said, the other 10, Joshua was with him, but everyone else said, we can't attack these people. They're bigger and stronger than us. And it says that they spread a bad report about the land through the people of Israel, which demoralized the people. These other 10 spies talked up the Anakites. They're huge and powerful. And they convinced the Israelites that they were just grasshoppers, or like grasshoppers. In other words, these major, massive, giant soldiers, and we're like grasshoppers. What on earth can we do? Which is really hilarious when you think that the, I don't know if they were grasshoppers, but the locusts came through in Egypt and completely destroyed Egypt's economy for a moment. You know, like, anyway, people have got short memories. But ultimately, the people believed the complainers, ended up with God's anger over them rather than his blessing. And God says this, not one of the people who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness but disobeyed me will see the land I promised on oath to their ancestors. But because Caleb, my servant Caleb, has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, this is God speaking, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. God is serious about how we walk, how we live. He expects his people to trust him, especially when he has proven his power in the past. He expects it. And I think he's got reason to. And Caleb believed what God said. He knew what he had experienced. And he saw the challenge through that lens and went, let's go for it. Faith sees the facts, but trusts the promise. Sees the facts, not saying it's not a challenge, but trust the promise, knowing that God has spoken and God is doing something. God didn't bring them out of Egypt to die in the desert. He knew that. A lot of the other people thought that they were just going to die. But Caleb had the ability to see forward, to go, God has got far more for us than this. Number three, he patiently endured the unfaithfulness of his people. I think sometimes we forget this. You know, it's easy to read the Bible and not miss and easily miss the reality of life. For 40 years, Caleb had to walk the desert with these condemned people, with his people. He had to get up each day, gather manna for breakfast, the same manna that they had for the last 39 years, possibly clean the sand from the tent, maybe pack everything up and move on when it was time to move, while holding to the promise that he would go into the land. 40 years. You know me, when I look at these people, I wonder things, and I wonder how often he just wanted to go, you stupid people. I wonder how often he just wanted to go, life is so unfair, why can't I go in? I was faithful. You people are holding me back. I wonder if he ever looked at everyone else with just anger. I don't know, it doesn't say. But I would wonder, maybe you did sometimes. How many of you go through life just chill, nothing ever affects you, you never get emotional, never... No, we all do, don't we? Even with the best of intentions. And so I'm pretty sure Caleb probably felt some things at times. But he didn't let that rule him. He didn't let his emotion take over. We will experience thoughts, emotions, frustrations. But God is at work anyway. We were singing the Waymaker song. What is it? Even when I don't see it, he's working. Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly, trusting what God said, that he will enter the land. He patiently endured it through 40 years of waiting. That's, I don't know if you can really grasp that. It's 40 years. He sat through his friends passing away, the kids he grew up with, the people that he went to school with, those he went to their weddings, celebrated the birth of their children, played games with, talked politics and religion, did life with, and he had to watch each one of them pass away in their time. He patiently endured. Wholehearted faith keeps going when the waiting is long. Do you ever get frustrated going, come on, God, where is the promise? How much longer? You're not alone. You're not alone. Number four, he carried the conviction of God at all times. You know, instead of getting lost in self-pity or creating a social group against this unfaithful generation and how wrong they are, or Caleb got involved with the law as Moses revealed it. What God was doing in Moses and speaking and establishing the structure and the nation and all that, I reckon Caleb helped. I reckon he helped the next generation have a faith in God. The children of the people who were to die in the desert had to be formed. They had to be, what was that, Mike? Discipleship, is it? They had to have time to study, to learn, to wrestle, to figure it out, to grow in faith and maturity. I reckon while he was waiting, instead of just ranting on the local gossip pages, I reckon he was getting involved. Maybe he had a home group. Maybe he had a life group. Maybe he had a class of people. Maybe he was saying to Moses, what can I do? I reckon Caleb would have been the biggest champion for holding the vision of the promise up before the next generation that would be joining him in crossing the Jordan. I reckon the reason he held on to it so much is because he recognized, I'm not doing it alone. I've got to help these people, these young fellas whose parents aren't coming with us. I reckon that's what held him and convinced him. 40 years patiently working, waiting, believing, 40 years of funerals, mana collection, the same pair of shoes. If you know the story, their shoes never wore out. Can you imagine wearing the same pair of shoes for 40 years? And all the guys went, yeah. And all the girls are like, what about the tomorrow? What about an evening out? No, anyway, sorry. Going off track. I can't find where I'm up to now. 40 years of establishing new laws and the construction of a nation. I don't think he was sitting back watching Netflix while all that was going on. He was getting involved. I wonder how often he thought about what he had seen in the land. I wonder how many times by the fire he was telling that next generation what they were going to move into. I wonder how often he reminded himself of what he was going to inherit. And whenever he found himself at odds with those around him, I wonder how the vision he held kept him in check. When he wanted to just say, well, you guys, you know, I wonder, yeah. I'd love to meet Caleb one day and talk about that. I'd love to see that. I wonder what Caleb thought when Moses said, I'm no longer able to lead you, but Joshua will cross over before you to the people of Israel. I wonder if Caleb attended that announcement from Moses and went, oh, is it almost here? I wonder if he was getting excited, whether his heart was starting to go, oh, come on. Joshua was the only other person that God said of that generation that was going to go in. And Joshua's getting to be an old man too. He can't be around for too much longer. And Moses is going, Joshua's about to take you across. I'm about to die. But Joshua and Caleb's going, oh, Joshua shares this promise with me. And his excitement must have begun to build there. 80 years old, now is the time. Can you imagine that? Two 80-year-olds leading a nation across a flooded river into a land of giants with fortified cities who didn't want to leave. But these two 80-year-olds were much more mature, but they were just as passionate and determined and ready to step into what God wanted for them. The conviction that Caleb has carried for 40 years is about to be fulfilled. Conviction is faith that survives the very ordinary years of life. It's hard work, isn't it? It's hard work watching things grow. It's hard work leading our children. It's hard work persevering through the ups and downs of daily meals and clothes washing and school and work. It's hard work. But our conviction of what we believe survives all of that and carries us through. And my last point is that ultimately Caleb experienced what God wanted for him and his people. Can you imagine what he must have felt like as he put his foot on the other side of that river? Once he stepped out of that river with the people and all of that. Can you imagine the determination that drove him as he helped the nation drive out the people that were there? Can you imagine his joy of what God was doing as the walls of Jericho just crumbled and fell as they sent out a mighty sound of praise as a nation? Can you imagine what was going on for him? It's like, God is doing what I've been waiting for 40 years. All we did was march around the cities praising God, and suddenly the defenses are gone. But can you also imagine the sorrow that he might have felt as he was leading his friend's children into what should have been his friend's experience, what they were missing out on? It must have been a tough time. But as we come to the passage that I'm reading this morning, can you see the passion that he has for claiming what was always his, God's promise? He says this, God has kept me alive for 45 years so that I can claim what he has always promised. And he goes up to Joshua. Now, Joshua's the leader. He's the politician. He's the all that. Caleb's just a Joe average guy. You know, he's a leader of his family and all that. But he goes up with the other leaders of Judah. And he goes up to Joshua and he reminds him and he says, give me my mountain. 85 years old. 45 years of passion and patience. 45 years of waiting and dreaming. 45 years of holding to what he believed God had said, knowing it to be true. And he stands before the mighty Joshua, the leader of the prime minister, the president, whatever you want to call him on that day. He stood before him and said, give me what I've been promised. And Joshua said, yes. And although in this passage it says that Hebron then belonged to Caleb, the reality is if you read through the rest of the story, he had to fight for it. He had to go and claim it. Just because Joshua said it was his, it didn't mean that he then just, you know, give me the title. No, he had to fight. He had to kick out the people that were there. He had to drive out the strong man. He had to defeat the giants that were in that place. He had to go overcome all of those challenges that were there. But he knew the conviction that it was his to have. And it says that when he drove them out, his children lived there after Caleb died. It's an amazing story. Because Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly, he was convinced that God is faithful to fulfill what he has promised. Do you have that conviction in your life? Whether it's a specific thing or the truth that one day we will be with him. See, to live at all times such a life that reflects a true Christian, it means that we hold on to God's word, that we believe his promises, that we endure the times we are in, knowing that Jesus will return, that there will be a kingdom of light, and that this reality that we're experiencing right now will be no more. That's kind of exciting, eh? Kind of, no? I hope you're passionate about it. To follow the Lord wholeheartedly means we will do all in our power to be the people God wants us to be, believing what he has said, even while waiting for time to pass, when we don't know the day, we don't know when that might happen. It could be in our generation or it might not be, it doesn't matter. We're still waiting, hoping, longing for what God has promised. And in the meantime, we love him, we walk with him wholeheartedly. To love the Lord wholeheartedly means that while we have strong convictions in certain areas, it doesn't mean we are the whole package. We are not the focus of everything God is doing. Sorry, you are not the focus of everything God is doing. I'm not the focus. I am one part of what God is doing. You are one part of what God is doing. We are called to walk with each other as a body, playing our part, allowing others to play their part. If you've got strong convictions about social justice, we also need to sit with people that have got strong convictions about the doctrinal statements we have. Those that just want to walk with God, you've got to sit and go, we also got some behaviors that we have to address, some challenges that we have to, you can't just do what you want, because, yeah, whole nother sermon there. We're called to walk together, knowing the promise that's to come while walking with the somewhat frustrating reality of the now, bringing our emotions and our feelings under control and being a blessing to those around us. You know, today we're not called to claim a land. We're not called to kill off those who oppose God. We're called to obey what Jesus has commanded and to live as if he is our God, and he's told us to go and make disciples, to help others know what it is to be God's people, to proclaim the glory of God in Jesus, to be light in the darkest of dark places. Even if you're not the leader, the called out one, or the super charismatic, whatever, each one of you are called to be faithful followers of Jesus, right where you are, in the places you inhabit. The story of Caleb is kind of a prophetic foretaste, I think, of what we're waiting for. It's not just a land in this earth as it is now. And if you know the story, Israel got in there fulfilled what God wanted. And then what did they do? They went and worshiped the same gods, acted exactly the same as the people God asked them to drive out. And what happened? They got kicked out. Okay. We're like waiting for a much greater thing than that. I hope you're longing for something far greater than that. It's heaven. It's God's reality. It's his kingdom. It's his rulership over all things. Jesus is at work by his Spirit in his people, setting people free from the chains of the world, the lies of the enemy. And we are to endure overturning the works of the enemy that we're experiencing and living amongst. We're to be doing the works of Jesus, loving others, seeing demons gone, love expressed, patiently persevering when some people just won't get it. But maybe one day. And one day, when Jesus returns to rule, then there will be rest from war. And we will experience what is promised, what he has promised to all who trust and believe in him. Are you looking forward to that? I hope so. Do you know, in the last few weeks, there's been a couple of people that have made a commitment to follow Jesus. There have been some people that have responded and want to grow. God is at work. God is at work. Someone walked in off the street because they felt God led them to last week and made a commitment to be his. It's incredible. Now, there's a journey that we've got. How do we walk alongside these people? Helping them understand what they've just committed to. Cool, eh? So, who is 85? You're going to lead the charge. Are you done yet? At 85, are you finished? Has God finished with you? Caleb wasn't. He didn't care. He just said, I'm as passionate and ready to go as... If you actually go reading through, he didn't do all of it. He encouraged some of his sons, and he even put up his daughter and said, right, whoever can take out that guy, you can have my daughter. That sounds really awful in our world, but actually I was thinking about it this week because I thought, would I give my daughter simply because somebody... But actually what he's doing is he's inviting him into fellowship with his family and his purpose. It's much bigger than what we realize. But whether you're 5, 85, or anywhere in between, the call is the same. Will you follow the Lord wholeheartedly in all that you do? Will you hold to his word? Will you believe his promises? Will you walk by the Spirit? Will you love God, love people? Will you live at all times as one who belongs to Jesus because he is faithful to do all that he has promised? I hope so, because that's what our first commitment or pledge of our members' pledge is actually about, is living, believing that God is faithful. As the music team comes up, we're going to finish. I just want to pray for us, we're going to pray, but I just want to ask if you're feeling, you know, you're too old, not old enough, you don't know enough, you know too much, you've had too many experiences, whatever. You're too sick, you're too crippled, you're too, I don't know, whatever. Don't have enough here, too much here, I don't know. Whatever excuse it is that you've got. Thanks, Trish. Put it aside. And maybe you might want to come up here and make a stand for God. Maybe you might want to have a prayer about just encouragement. So Trisha's just written this or shared this, and I think it's true. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is God. Do you believe he's the same God that walked with Caleb is the same God that's walking with us? The same God that's calling. Trust in my promises. I've promised never to leave or to forsake you. I'm with you in the darkness. I'm working. Trust in my promises. I am with you always. You know, when you carry that sort of conviction, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world around you. It doesn't matter what other people are saying about you. It doesn't matter what is happening to your whatever. Even in sicknesses and hospital visits and operations and ups and downs and job changes and all of that stuff, God is at work and is able to defeat the things that feel like giants to us. He's able to achieve his purposes. He's able to transform and change you right in the middle of all of that. And I just pray that for you, you will stand firm, that you will have an increased conviction to be his people in this time. So how about we stand as we pray and we go into our final song, shall we? Father, we thank you that you are God who never changes, who never leaves, who hasn't changed his story. You don't look at what we do and go, oh no, better come up with a different plan. Lord, you're always at work. And Father, you do come to a point where we reject you. When we turn away, you go, well, okay, that's your decision. But those of us that want to stay on track, he is willing to do immeasurably more than we could ever dream or ask. He makes the impossible possible. You get to a place when you've walked with God going, I never thought I'd be here, but look what God has done. And I've been able to do it because God is with me. And probably more importantly, I am with him. So Father, may we be a church, a body of people that don't just turn up and do amazing services. Father, may we be people who follow you wholeheartedly in all areas of life. May we be people that are passionate about seeing people set free. May demons be driven out. May sicknesses be healed. May lives be transformed. But Father, may we also be people who commit to walking faithfully in your ways. Once all those things are gotten rid of, may we be faithful to be yours, proclaiming your name, being the light in the dark places of our communities, revealing your love and goodness to those who desperately need it. Father, have your way in us today, in Jesus' name.